Good afternoon, everybody. Our moderator's not here, but I can introduce myself. We'll be happy to do that. So welcome, and thank you so much for coming to our session. I'm Joy Sonolongo. I work for Shift NC, Sexual Health Initiatives for Teens, and I am very pleased to have with me Elise Keefe, who now works for Innovation Research and Training, but was an intern with me on this evaluation and really did a lot of the work on this project. So my presentation is literally about talking to the Rotary Club and does that make a difference, and other groups, as you'll see. And I have no relationships to disclose. So this presentation will show our attempt to answer this question. And this was a question posed for the Gaston Youth Connected Teen Pregnancy Prevention Project, which I'll give you a little more information about in a few seconds. And the reason that I submitted this presentation is I'm sure most of you know that most public health or other social change efforts recommend stakeholder education. And some of you might call it public awareness or community engagement. And then it's very important for influencing policies, resources, or implementation. And there is some information in the literature about how to successfully conduct presentations to community groups for stakeholder education. And there's even some information about how to evaluate it, but there is surprisingly little information about evaluations that are actually done for these presentations. And so over the course of this project, it was a five-year project, and we conducted this evaluation year four. The staff on the project had conducted 145 presentations to 100 community groups. Often they went back more than once to the same group. And we wanted to know, what happened when the members left, the audience members left the room. Did they have any change in knowledge, attitude, or behavior? So just a little bit of context about this project. This project was one of nine demonstration sites for the President's Teen Pregnancy Prevention Initiative. It was supported by the CDC and the Office of Adolescent Health. And the purpose of the demonstration project was to adopt a population-based approach to teen pregnancy prevention. And it was to work broadly and deeply within an entire county to reduce the overall rates. And one of the major project components was stakeholder education, and that was to educate civic leaders, elected officials, and other community members about evidence-based approaches. And a couple of contextual factors about the community in which we were evaluating our work. You can see the textile mill. This is, a semi-rural southeast United States, southern county in the state. It's on the South Carolina border. And there was a long history of the textile trade in this community, which is no longer a viable source of employment for most people, but it influences folks mainly in terms of education levels, because there was a long history of being able to obtain employment with a high school education. And, that's no longer the case there. And then I have the church as an image because church leaders are viewed as civic leaders in this community. So our evaluation questions aligned with the goals for the stakeholder education activities. We wanted to know, the goals of the activities were to garner support for effective evidence-based sex education, access to adolescent reproductive health care, and use of community resources to sustain the project after the grant funding ended. And we asked questions that aligned somewhat with these goals. And before I go further, I just want to say that our study sample was comprised of secondary stakeholders, and it's really important to point that out. So when I say stakeholder education, I'm talking about the secondary stakeholders. These are people who do not play a direct role in the project. They are not implementation partners, and they were not beneficiaries of the project. So they included faith groups, elected officials, Optimist, Rotary, or service group like the Lynx, which is an organization for professional women of color. So a little bit about what type of content was shared in these presentations. There were three main areas. It was information sharing about the scope of teen pregnancy in the community, about project approaches, about progress with how the project, the different results as the project went on over the 4 years. Another goal or part of the content was to build buy-in, to manage controversy, and to follow up from previous presentations. And then there was typically a call to action, mainly asking the audience members to connect project staff with resources or influential partners. And I have a picture of one of the slides that was shared. That's a slide from one of the presentations, and it was one that showed some results from community needs assessments, basically saying that although some members of the community thought this was a controversial approach, that actually 91% of parents supported school-based sexuality education, and 87% supported access to adolescent reproductive health services. So our methodology was we conducted semi-structured phone interviews, we used open and closed-ended items, we had 24 participants from 19 organizations or groups. Our sampling, I said, included 24 individuals. To be eligible, they had to attend two or more presentations, and they included elected officials from city and county governing boards, faith leaders, the civic groups, the Rotary and Optimist, and then some of them represented, they were potential funders. So it was partially a purposeful sample and partially a convenience sample. And when I get to limitations, I can talk more about. We had a log of the presentations and the groups, but we didn't have a roster from every audience member at the presentations. It was just not feasible a lot of the time when our folks were an invited guest at the Rotary, and maybe they didn't even have an attendance log for the meeting. So our first questions, because staff were very interested in what did our study participants think was the most effective about the presentations. So I don't know if any of you have given presentations to these groups and you walk out of the room and you have no idea what stuck and what didn't. So our staff was very interested in knowing that. By far and above, what we learned most was people mentioned data, and they mentioned it in several ways. Many of the slides that follow, I'm just showing representative quotes. Some of the common themes that came up where people really appreciated having local data about their community. They really appreciated that project staff returned with updates on the progress, and we understood that the data was used to minimize any controversy in the community. And I'm guessing that many of you don't work in sexual and reproductive health. Is that true? So it's a pretty controversial topic with teens, and everybody thinks their community is the most conservative, but having worked on this national project, that was true all over the across projects, right? Let's see. So I'll move on to, we then asked if they learned anything from the presentations that they attended. So a large percentage of the respondents said they learned about the scope of the problem and progress with the project. So it was pretty pretty remarkable to me that some of them, these presentations, maybe they hadn't been, it'd been a year since the time that Elise had called them, that these were some pretty precise answers to me. And so things that came up was the financial impact. They remembered things about subpopulations, like the difference between the older teens and the younger teens. And they even remembered some data about the drop in rates, which, you know, for me as an evaluator was pretty crazy, because we're always told, have a story with it, which I think is very important, but they remembered a lot of the numbers. Then we also asked about attitude changes. We asked if they came away with any different perceptions or attitudes about teen pregnancy. So there weren't many, but there were a few that commented that they became more open to a comprehensive approach to sex ed, as you can see in the slides. That somebody said it changed their mind to, you know, from an absence-only approach to a comprehensive. And, you know, here you get some of the second quote, you get some of the religious influence and how people approach this issue. I think there was some ambiguity in how the person was feeling, but it seems like the presentation actually moved them a little bit in accepting a comprehensive approach. A little more on the attitude changes. Another theme was that, and I think this would be interesting for, it wouldn't matter what your public health initiative that you were working on would be, that we were interested that there were responses that talked about an increased ownership for the issue. You can see in the first quote, the person even used the word accountability. The other two quotes, people came to the realization that they have to do something different than what they've been doing. Another attitude change that we saw, I don't know for many of you, but one of the reasons to go around and inform community groups about your efforts is you want to have some form of sustainability going forward for any of the grant-funded work. We didn't prompt these responses, but they did come up and there were comments that bubbled up about continuing to keep the work going. So you can see from the quotes. So then we asked about behavior change. One of the things that we learned, it wasn't for a lot of the participants, but for a few of them, they described how they interacted with young people differently. One of the respondents was somebody that was on the Board of Health, and he was a pharmacist, and he described how it made him think about, I think he was just more communicative and more sharing of information. And then there was one of our respondents that actually became involved in an after-school program that had some teen pregnancy prevention programming associated with it. So that was a big behavior change. But most of the participants more talked about their behavior change being how they communicated with other adults. There were a few that mentioned that attending the presentation made it easier for them to have a conversation on this somewhat controversial topic with other adults. And in a way, that this finding isn't very surprising, because most of the respondents were somehow engaged citizens in their community. Um, So there weren't many, but a few respondents also directly mentioned financial support. One of the respondents belonged to a civic organization that did give some money for the project after attending the presentations. A few other respondents just talked about advocacy, which I'm going to talk more about in a minute. In addition, those were all responses to our open-ended questions, but we also had a few closed-ended questions that looked at likelihood of advocating for continued support. And because, you know, that was one of our purposes behind asking these questions in the fourth year of a five-year project. The first question we asked was how likely they were to advocate for comprehensive sex ed programs. And you can see by my slide that we differentiated the responses to two groups. So the first shows that 71% of all the interview participants said they were likely or very likely to advocate for comprehensive sex ed. But we also identified in our sample what we were calling highly influential stakeholders, and to be identified as that you had to be a potential funder or be on the county commissioner or a county labor board, because those are people that could actually support, provide financial resources for sustainability. And they had a higher likelihood of saying they would advocate for comprehensive sex ed. We then asked the same question, but about advocating for access to contraceptive health services for teens. And is this typical in this field? There's usually, you know, slightly less support for access to reproductive health services than there would be for education. Still a majority of our respondents were likely to advocate for that. People made some comments about their likelihood of advocating, said the presentation made it easier for them to talk about it, and a few voiced that they were less likely to support. We asked them if they were likely to allocate money, and again, we saw these differences between all in the highly influential. I just want to briefly go over the summary recommendations that we made to the project staff. I think there was a lot of value that in being part of the conversation, that the folks, if I had one piece of advice to give after this evaluation, I would say go back again. A lot of times when a project starts up, there's a lot of work to go out and let community members to know about it, and then they don't hear back from you, or maybe they hear back with results 3 or 4 years later, and you have completely different people in the audience. Our folks went either once a year or more to talk to these groups. They really identified data, so we recommended to continue to use it. I'll go on in terms of time. That because the participants, that we found that many of our respondents expressed ownership, but they considered themselves less influential, so they needed tools to advocate for sustainability, which I know other initiatives provide those tools, but this particular one did not, and I think that it was lacking or would be important. We also recommended that they continue what they were doing, but focus more on strengthening support for access to clinic services. Finally, we recommended that that they go beyond this initial circle of secondary groups and try to reach groups that might be less likely to be informed or engaged in the community. Just very briefly, a number of limitations. You know, our sample was fairly much a convenience sample. It wouldn't be able to, don't know about the general, be able to generalize it to other communities. It could be because these people were already engaged citizens, they could have a favorable predisposition before they even went in and heard the presentation, and that these were retrospective self-report responses. And I need to acknowledge this presentation was made possible by support from the CDC and Office of Adolescent Health and my contact information. So thank you. And I think we'll take questions at the end.